I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Anytime the Cowboys sign a free agent, we should treat it, Mike, like it's the old Jerry Lewis telephone. Rico Dowdle, add him to the list of Eric Kendricks, Jordan Lewis, and the original Trent Sieg.
You know what that looks like to me? Super Bowl.
Earlier on the show, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. Coming up, Baseball Hall of Famer John Smoltz, ESPN NFL Draft Analyst Mel Kiper Jr., actor Skylar Astin. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204. Rich is the number to dial. Mel Kiper Jr. will be joining us in hour number three. Great chat with Albert Breer in hour number one. As we came on the air, mentioned how much is going on. March Madness, that's now down to the field of 66. We're going to get it down to the field of 64 tonight. USC Pro Day begins today. In this hour, Caleb Williams will be throwing. We're going to keep an eye on all of that. Mel Kiper Jr., as I mentioned, joins us in hour number three. And as I mentioned, opening day of baseball in Seoul, South Korea. The Los Angeles Dodgers, perhaps one of the most hyped teams in recent memory in any team sport in North America, opens up its season in South Korea against the San Diego Padres. And as if the scales are not already tipped in the favor of the Los Angeles Dodgers with their unlimited, ungodly budget, enhanced by the fact that Shohei Ohtani says, I will play for you, and you can pay me my gajillions when I'm 90 years old. Or something to that effect.
Yeah, basically.
To the point where, you know, you could just go sign anybody else. Like, say, my buddy Yamamoto. As if it's not already tipped in their favor. The baseball gods today. In the eighth inning in Seoul, South Korea, with the Dodgers in a tie game at two apiece, had a double play, surefire inning-ending double play grounder hit to Jake Cronenworth. And look at the video. Ball goes straight through the webbing of his glove.
Literally through his glove.
Instead of an inning-ending double play.
Yeah, kind of ridiculous.
The go-ahead run scores, and then, you know, talk about the scales being tipped. Mookie Betts and Shohei Ohtani come up the next two batters to provide
fair.
The insurance
yeah,
runs.
That seems
5-2 final.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that way it's going to go this
I
year?
I think we should just.
Is that the way this is going to go?
Let's just end the season.
It's over.
Can we just.
Right? Let's just what
breeze,
are we going to play?
Right through the summer.
Let's get to the playoffs.
Let's give them the hunk of metal and move on.
The hunk of metal.
Oh, who better to ask about all this than the Baseball Hall of Famer joining us in advance of the third annual Invited Celebrity Classic that we talked about with Kevin Millar the other day. The great John Smoltz back here on the program. How are you, John?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Am I overreacting to what we saw already? What do you think?
This is the best part of week one. You know what I love about week one?
What is that?
I know this is a little different because they started early. I love listening to talk radio after the team of that city loses three of the first four games and it's over. And these guys are bums. I love that part. I mean, you leave camp. It's so weird. You leave spring training, day games. You got to adjust. And then the first 2 weeks don't go well. And then everybody's going crazy. But to your point, the Dodgers are loaded. Can you imagine if they were to lose these first two games, what the rhetoric would be? But they're going to be just fine. And they're definitely has the most pressure on them, which is great. I want to be a player leaving camp with the most pressure on me to win or it's a failure. That's the kind of team you want to have. And that's the kind of team they have right now.
Well, overreactions aside though, John, I mean, if you had to list the teams 1 through 30
okay? The team that needed a freak glove malfunction to help them out the least, it would be the Los Angeles Dodgers, right? John, there would be 30. They'd be 30 on that list, right?
It sure would. Yeah, they would be 30. There's going to be plenty of opportunities through the year where, you know, no one's going to feel sorry for the Dodgers, but they are going to get everybody's best shot. They're going to have to survive the injury, you know, basically bug that hits every team. And they have more resources to survive that. And they pulled off some incredible deals in the offseason. And it's a credit to them. And we'll find out. Baseball is a great sport that doesn't guarantee anything. We've seen that over the last 30 years. So we'll find out as this year. But they're must-watch, must-see TV. And that's, I guess, hopefully they got their TV situation worked out where most of LA can see them. Yes. I know that was a situation a couple of years ago. They've got that worked
out. That has been ironed out for sure. And in all honesty, I mean, I know you're a football fan too, John. You know, you could make the case the Dodgers are kind of like the Cowboys, where regular season's great. Let's see. That's awesome. That's great. But when playoff rubber meets road, that's it. Because it has been the more frequent than not, and I understand that there was that World Series in 2020, but more recent, more often than not, it's just something happens in October, and then the Dodgers wind up with their tail between their legs and seeing somebody else win the Commissioner's Trophy. And so I'm just wondering, how does a manager even prepare for something like that over the 162, right? I mean, how do you do that?
Yeah, I think learning from the past, and one of the things they did in the postseason, for whatever reason, they felt compelled to use a ton of resources in one series that spent them. The Braves went on to beat them and won the World Series. There's been times where they've deviated from successful outings. I think they have the recipe now to sustain all that. But here's what's gotten them every single time, in my opinion. Their rotation has been filled with injuries year in and year out. I mean, they have not escaped that yet. Now, they've built some quantity to help them have that situation come up in the postseason. But let's face it, they're probably going to be one of the two best records in the National League. They're going to have the 5-day rest. They're going to have everything going for them if they stay healthy. This is not just show up and they're going to win 100 games, but you like their lineup. You like their rotation. They left camp. They've got some guys on the IL already. But it's a long journey, and they understand it. And that's why I'm saying the pressure for that team leaving spring training, if they embrace it, and which I'm sure they will, they got the right manager to embrace it, they're going to be just fine. And I have a belief that they signed Shohei Ohtani not to win one championship. They signed them to win multiples. So this is not hurry up, win two in a row. This is about cashing in on these mega contracts with multiple championships, and then you can view them as one of the most successful teams maybe in the next 10 years. But up until this point, they've had what, one championship in the last 34 years, 33, something like that. Mm-hmm. So they feel that pressure from an iconic organization to win multiple now.
Well, that said, I mean, Mookie Betts is, when you look at him, you don't look at a guy and think, well, he feels the pressure, right? I mean, like he's so dynamite when it comes to that. And, you know, you mentioned Dave Roberts, and then there's Ohtani, who very well could be one of the most famous athletes on planet Earth, right? I mean, I don't think that is, you know, hyperbole, John. And here he is, like, a couple weeks ago, you know, Instagramming out, oh, by the way, I'm married. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and where he kind of just lives in a cocoon in a way that normally nobody of his immense fame would be able to. Like, it's kind of like a Jeter quality to it, you know, where it's kind of wild how comfortable in his skin and in his environment he is. And allows him to, I imagine, go rake and then one day again go pitch, John. You know,
he's a unique human. Yeah, he's a unique human being that showed me a lot on how he got here, who he signed with, what the expectations were, and what he embraced. He is very very capable of doing everything he sets his mind out to do. And I think I read that he wrote down his goals and dreams as a youngster. Look, his contract he signed says a lot about him. The way he handles things says a lot about him. But let's not mistake or kid ourselves. He's under tremendous watch and every move he makes. So he's handling it better than anybody I think of his ilk could. Mm-hmm. And give him the upbringing and what he's done and how he's done it. He's going to make mistakes just because everybody's going to want his time. Everybody needs to see him. But here's the deal. And I think the reason why he's with the Dodgers, I mean, he could have gone anywhere he wanted. He could have gone anywhere he wanted when he first came to Major League Baseball. I think now the world's going to get this chance to see him at the stage they want to see him, and that's in the playoffs. They didn't see him a lot. The East Coast doesn't see him a lot. Now America's going to get to see how incredibly gifted he is beyond belief and playing in the playoffs, which is something he has not been doing in majority of his career.
Yeah, I don't know if it is like the NFL on Fox, John, but do you know how many Dodger games you have this year? Do you already know this? Do you know your schedule?
Yeah,
right now.
I mean, the first half. I mean, we'll do the limit, right? You can only do the club so many times. I believe it's 7 or 8 times, and I'm sure we'll have that. Yeah, I have a few Dodger games already. I know I got one in Cincinnati. I've got a couple, one with the Yankees in New York. So yeah, the first half schedule. I think I've got 3 of them, but I guarantee in the second half they may be backloading that to try to make sure that you know you see the greatest player on earth. Doing his thing in Dodger Blue. So this is going to be marketing 101 lesson for Dodgers and how they do this. And they do it as well as anybody. And certainly he knows on the back end, even though his contract's backloaded, he's got so many marketing deals. And look, it's good to be Shohei Ohtani. I just hope, my selfish hope, is that he's able to learn how to pitch with the second Tommy John and last. I just want to see him last on the mound because he's so gifted. And that contract is so huge. I don't think they gave him that contract just to be a DH. So I think they believe that he's going to be able to be a dynamic pitcher, you know, after this year.
What advice would you give him on that?
The biggest thing is look at how he rehabbed the first time and make some changes. But I think the biggest thing he's got to be able to do is convince himself to not throw 94-mile-an-hour sliders and 100-mile-an-hour fastballs all the time. I mean, he's pulled off incredible miracles up to this point. I said, look, I wasn't being negative. I'm a huge fan of his. I said it's an impossibility for him to stay healthy at the rate he was going. And it's proven to be true only because the force he puts on his body and the lack of rest he gets. I mean, it's truly the greatest player I've ever seen. And so if he's going to be the dynamic player that we want to see and open doors for future players, I hope that he can rest at 97, 96 and tune it up every once in a while, throw that split and slider, not with maximum effort, and be able to just navigate the mound. Even though he won't make 30 starts, it's still fun to watch him dominate on the mound when he's dominating on the counterpart, you know, when he gets in the box, in the plate.
John Smoltz, Baseball Hall of Famer, Major League Baseball on Fox analyst, and of course, in advance of the 3rd annual Invited Celebrity Classic that's taking place at Las Colinas Country Club in Irving, Texas in April, which we'll get to in a second right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Before we get to the golf, let's talk about the bunch of teams that no doubt, if they heard us talk only about the Dodgers over the last 10 minutes, would be highly offended. Which teams do you think? Obviously, I think Atlanta, maybe the world champs. I don't know. And then there's the Orioles. Give me a list of teams that you think have a shot here.
Yeah. Well, what I really like the offseason, what the Yankees did. Now, they haven't started off again. They haven't avoided that injury bug. They've got to keep Judge healthy, and obviously Garrett Cole's got to get back on the mound. I love their lineup. I love what they're able to do in the offseason to kind of deal with some of the shortcomings they had last year. Baltimore's legit. Baltimore's not a feel-good story anymore. They reminded me, I said this 2 years ago before they started on their incredible journey of the 91 Braves, and then, of course, we went on a 14-year run. Their young talent has gotten seasoned last year, learned a lot. They got tired at the end of the year. They had an incredible year that fell short because of some banged-up injuries and offense that went quiet. I love the Baltimore Orioles this year. Texas is defending champs. If they get healthy kind of 3/4 of the way into the season, you know, or a quarter into the way, then they can have a chance to repeat. We haven't had a repeat since, I believe, the Yankees. But the Houston Astros are maybe the most complete lineup and roster in the American League. And what they've done is shed that narrative that was following them for a long time on what they crossed the line and how they were thought of in the public eye. They're legit. And they've added a bullpen now that is going to be as good as anybody's. And they just have a pedigree of championship. They know how to get there. They've been to five, I think, in a row, and American League championships, if my memory serves me right. So you got heavy loaded, top loaded teams. And then, of course, in the Centrals in each division, it's pretty much wide open. But the Braves should be great. The Phillies should be great. You're going to get a surprise team out of the Central that is going to, you know, maybe step up and win that division and cause some problems. But I think the balances are pretty much in the West in both leagues. And then you've got a couple teams in the rest of the leagues that should fight for the division championship and then possibly the playoff positioning. So I just think the balance of the rotations that have been put together by Baltimore. And of course, you got the Braves. If they get Chris Sale to do Chris Sale things, it's going to be a good National League kind of battle as we watch this thing unfold.
All right, let's talk about the golf. How's your game?
Game is getting better. We've lost my putting a little bit, which is a little concerning. I gained two new hips, and I gained my distance back. But I've gone through a little bout of some putting that has really it's caused some concern on the ability to get back locked in. So I'm working on that. Okay. Short game's getting a little better. But here's what happened. All right. I mean, I went through this past year, qualifying stages, and what an experience it was. I made it to the final stage. And in that final stage, I really lost speed of my putter. And it's kind of carried over into making a lot of putts on the edge. So, you know, in my professional career, I love to live on the corners. In my golfing career, I'm tired of living on the corners. I got to get right down the middle.
You know, on a Wyndham Clark, right? You know, when I have one of those right. power lifts. Oh, my God, man. Right? How crazy was that? How crazy was
that
this past weekend?
Yeah, the game of golf, I've often wondered, you know, people talk about if the hole was twice the size,
yes,
would there still be as many lip outs? That's my question.
Probably, you know, I don't know. The ball does its own thing, man. And obviously, it's a great group of guys that is coming again to this Invited Celebrity Classic. 78 PGA Tour champions, 40 sports and entertainment stars, and that's coming down. And you're gonna be able to watch it on Golf Channel all 3 days of competition, April 19th through the 21st. Glavin and Maddox are going to be there as well. John, can you take me as a fly on the wall of when you and Glavin and Smoltz would be on an off day, you know, and playing golf? Like, who was in charge of making the tee time? What was that like, John?
So back then, we didn't have the technology where we could store everything. I had a notebook that had everything done in a briefcase. And in my briefcase was a notebook, and that's basically it. It carried all the members' numbers, all the pros, and I was the golf concierge. I set up the rental cars. All they had to do was show up. And I told them they make a decision the night before. They're going to go to bed or they're not. If you commit to me the night before and you're going to play golf and you don't show up, it's going to be a heavy fine. And they were all great. Glavin was probably my most loyal guy. He only missed a couple. But we had so much fun in the cars, rental cars and Ubers and basically trying to get to the golf course as early as we can. And we had a blast. And I'll say this about the tournaments and the celebrity tournaments that we get to hook up and play. When I'm having a bad tournament, the first thing I do is look to the scoreboard and see where they are. Because if they ever beat me, I'm going to have to quit. And that's kind of the way I feel. So they're my motivation. Glavin knows this. I've had a couple really, really bad rounds and a couple where I thought, okay, I just want to go home. And I look up and he's 1 point behind me. And I said to my caddy, Greg Olson, let's go. And so it would turn around because I know he wants to beat me so bad. And he's come close a couple times. But we had so much fun during the time. We kind of continue that when we play in these celebrity deals.
I love it. So was there ever a time where it was the three of you and Tiger was the fourth? Did that ever happen?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had many opportunities to take down Tiger, whether it was a two-on-one or a three-on-one. And, you know, we had him drowned one day. I mean, it was borderline, you know, like maybe feeling bad for the guy for a little bit. But then he came storming back And he pressed and went four under the last five holes or some crazy number. And you would have thought he won the Masters. He beat us out of 25 or 50 bucks. And he would have thought that was his greatest victory ever. But 3-on-1 is tough to, I mean, it's tough to beat. And I know we're taking on the world's greatest, but he dug deep. He found himself in a little bit of a hole and he loved coming out of it. And at the end, like I said, he reacted as if he won the Masters.
Did he give you candy? Like, did you guys had, who had strokes?
No.
No strokes?
No strokes. No, it was our best ball.
Okay.
And we, in the first nine holes, we made everything. I mean, it was, he was, nobody else would have come back from this. I guarantee it. No other pro. And he goes, can I press? And I said, yeah, you could press. So he got it. He kind of got addicted to the press. He goes, can I press again? I said, sure, you could press again, only to know that a 602-yard par five,
yeah,
he reached with driver, two iron, eagle, then went birdie par to win. Like I said, to win by one. And he, we just were looking at each other going, we can't stop this train, but it was impressive to watch.
Wow. Love stories like that, man. Love stories. Thanks for sharing that, John.
Hey, you know the other story? The only other story that you're going to love, maybe, at least if you can. Can I just say, this past year was the final piece of my bucket list that never happened, and it was the Detroit Lions. You know I'm a diehard.
Yeah.
I'm a diehard Lions fan. Can I just say next year or in the year after? I mean, I just need my bucket list just to go. They don't have to win, just to go. I changed seats like 16 times during that game against San Francisco. I couldn't find the lucky seat. I take responsibility for that. But I just want to say, you know, the Lions going to the Super Bowl in the next 2 years, please.
John, you got to like what you see, though. I mean, you know what you have seen and you know what it looks like to recognize it. And the Lions have it. You know,
they do.
You know,
they do.
Big time. And you just got to love, everything. You got to love the coach, despite some of the crazy things that he does on fourth down or did obviously in the NFC Championship game. Amon-Ra St. Brown is one of my favorite players. Obviously Jared Goff is taking things into his own hands. They're smart in the front office. They're smart on the sidelines. They're smart in between the lines. And they also bring it, man.
Yeah.
They bring it. You know,
I've had three of the four. I've been in person to watch hockey, basketball, and baseball. I just need the fourth to complete the cycle. That's really what I've got left to live for.
Well, you know, and the best thing about it for me personally is, you know, you get to root for Aiden Hutchinson. So
that's right.
You know,
that's right.
You know,
hey, you got yours last year.
Oh,
you
I
got
did.
Yours last year.
Oh, I did.
You
no,
sure
were,
did.
Were you fine with that? Were you fine with that? Were you rooting
I
for
was.
Washington? You sure you weren't rooting for Washington and
fine.
Alabama?
No. Look, I got my Spartan shirt on getting ready for the tournament, but I root for Michigan. You know, when Michigan State, I'm not one of those guys. I know I'll take flack for it. But it's the state. It's the state championship. You know. Anyways.
Me too.
I'm not bitter.
And Izzo getting the team in the tournament again. He's awesome. He's just I picked him to move on against Mississippi State, so we'll see. Good luck to that, and good luck getting your stroke in line the way that you want for the third annual Invited Celebrity Classic. Again, be sure to check it out April 19th through the 21st, live on Golf Channel, all 3 days of competition. Let's do this again, John. Thanks for the time.
You got it. My pleasure.
Right back at you. That's John Smoltz right here on the Rich Eisen Show, Baseball Hall of Famer. How great a story is that? Tiger Woods, if he ever looked at me and said, can I press? I'd be like,
No.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't know how to answer it because I'd never be up.
No. Sure.
How much candy?
But a 3-on-1 best ball.
Honestly.
I mean, yeah.
By the way, those three as well.
Those three as well. Probably close to scratch.
They're not close. They are scratch, aren't they?
They're all good.
I know Smoltz is. I don't know.
Isn't Maddox?
I don't know about the
they're
other two guys.
Good.
I would assume that they're good at golf. Most pitchers are.
I think all three of them are.
They're good. I bet.
I love that. He says that when he's not having a good tournament, he looks up and he better not see Glavin or Maddox beating him.
Or he'll quit.
I love that story. Or he'll quit on the spot.
I mean, all right, Maddox is a four.
Oh, you're looking up. You can look up their numbers, huh?
Yeah.
Right.
Brockman's got
But you'd have to figure, though, Maddox is a four now in his, what, in his 50s.
Yeah, Glavin's a three.
Okay. But what were they when they were that –
Back
photograph
then.
Of them when they were like children.
Sure.
Yeah.
that we just showed up of them as the big three.
I hated them.
They were
brother,
so good.
Man.
Sorry, we were the Yankees.
They ruined more summers of my life than those Atlanta Braves.
That team.
Like, man.
I mean.
You want to talk about unfair? Think about that roster. Think about those pitchers on that team.
Best pitching staff
of
all time.
That was
right?
So not fair.
Dude, when the Yankees beat the Braves in 1996, was one of the greatest sports moments of my life.
I remember that.
And that Andy Pettitte outdueled the man we just stopped talking to. 1-0 in one of the classic games.
After the Braves won games 1 and 2 in Yankee Stadium.
I know that.
You're like, well, this is a wrap.
I know that. Jim Leyritz turning around Mark Wohlers was the big one. But game 5, when it was 2-2 apiece, and then it was Glavine versus Pettitte, is one of the all-time great pitching performance by both teams in a World Series game that was pivotal, to say the least. And I'm just getting goosebumps even remembering. And then Joe Girardi's triple in Game 6 gave the Yankees 4 in a row, and then off they went.
I remember where I was the day you guys clinched.
But real quick, quick story is I did a feature on ESPN. I was the interviewer for the feature of the Big Three for SportsCenter back in the day. And I interviewed Glavine, Maddux, and Smoltz, and Bobby Cox at Shea Stadium when the Braves were in town. And the Mets, I guess, didn't really, even though Jay Horowitz, who works for the Mets for ever and a day, one of the sweetest men you'll ever meet for media relations, I guess they just kind of didn't really care about, oh, you're going to come to our place and interview them? That might have been the theory behind having them basically say the spot you can interview them in is behind home plate in Shea Stadium. Problem with that is it's right next door to LaGuardia Airport. So you'd be in the middle of a great soundbite.
Oh, stinks. That's the worst.
So then the next best option that my producer was able to find was the glaucoma testing room in Shea Stadium. Who knew there was such a thing? There was a door, and on the front of it, it said glaucoma testing. Glaucoma testing. You opened the door, and without a doubt, this is where one of the many, as you've heard before, you remember the famed black cat that strolled across the Cubs dugout in 1969 that allowed the Mets to eventually come back and make their first World Series and win?
Yes.
One of the many felines that resided in Shea Stadium lived in this room. The smell of cat pee was immense. And thank goodness my producer was able to find some Glade. And an oscillating fan to try and clean out the room and then to dress up the room to make it look even decent was a remarkable job by the producer of this piece. And the producer's name was Susie Schuster.
That's right.
I swear this story sounds familiar, like you told us years ago.
Susie was the one who basically was like, you're going to set us up at home plate with planes flying overhead from LaGuardia? Really? Is that what we're doing?
I can see that.
Let's find here, find us another room. And one by one, they strolled into the room, and the first thing they went was,
meow.
Kind of like that, and they really didn't say anything. Like, there's a smell of Glade and cat urine I didn't expect.
Shea was bad. That was in bad shape for a long
time.
You
think?
Giant Stadium and Shea Stadium, two of the worst places to work in the history of civilization.
That's the story. The first time I met John Smoltz. Nice.
That's funny.
For being old.
So.
But
take a break. Back with much more. Never know the stories you're going to tell when you sit down in front of this microphone.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
What was it like shooting that scene, though, with Ray Kinsella and his father?
What I did was I went back to when I first read it. And so I become the audience when I read it. And when I read it, I went, I couldn't believe that it had orchestrated itself to that thing. And I had that feeling on the couch. And so I knew if I played that straight, if I didn't wink at anybody, that these players did come. You know, that's my corner. You know, they kept coming after me. I wasn't going to be able to do that movie. I was going to do Revenge. And I got into Revenge kept getting pushed. And finally, I had to put my foot down and say, look, if you don't get this movie together, I'm going to go to do this movie in the corn. I asked the director, why did you hold out for me so long? Why? And he said, well, and this is one of the greatest actors we've ever seen. He goes, they wanted me to do it, Robin Williams. And I said, Robin Williams is perfect. He said, yeah, but when I think of Robin, I think he does hear voices in the corn. And I don't want that. People don't believe you hear voices. That's a director that makes a save. That's a Mariano Rivera, you know?
Sure.
It's a save. He saved his movie because of his belief in an idea. You know, not the quality of actor, because Robin Williams will never.
Of course.
This is a guy so special. But I was curious. I said, he's actually a bigger star than me. You know, whatever. And he goes, I need somebody that you don't think hears voices.
And that would be you. I've never heard Robin Williams was considered for that role. That's unbelievable. And then you did it. And obviously we're talking about it today.
Yeah. It had gold dust on it when I read it, because I did that little intake of breath. Do you want to have a catch? And of course, I wept myself.
I love Kevin Costner. I don't care who knows it. Back on the Rich Eisen Show, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk. Furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. So, it was right around this time yesterday that Mike Williams, the Los Angeles Charger wide receiver of the last 7 years, who is now on a free agency tour, heading to New Jersey to visit with the Jets, and then having apparently a couple other teams after that. And he's on a tour, and he's trending. And I'm thinking, did the Jets sign him? No, he was only still on the way to New York. It was the trending subject matter surrounded a breakfast sandwich. A breakfast sandwich that apparently a New York Jet fan from Princeton, New Jersey, who goes by the handle of @NYJ_Matt,
nice,
decided to order a breakfast sandwich for him.
Nice.
Mike Williams, hey, if you're gonna be checking out the Jets facility, the old training center, I'm gonna send you a Taylor ham, 2 eggs and cheese sandwich from a nearby spot, I believe in Morristown, New Jersey. Does that geographically make sense
yes,
to you, Mikey?
Does 100%,
okay, very good. And he even tweeted out the screen grab of
right
what
there.
Looked like a DoorDash or an Uber Eats or something like that. It's kind of funny, you know, New York funny. Jet fan saying, hey, the least I can do to try and tip the scales right. in the Jets' favor that didn't tip in their favor the year before when the Chargers signed him with $360 million deal, so he didn't hit the free agent market as the Jets were interested in Mike Williams then. Hey, maybe it's a breakfast sandwich.
Feed me, Seymour.
Well, sure enough, guess what happened? By the end of the day, the Jets did the typical free agent, when you really want to move, you make sure he doesn't leave the building. Mm-hmm. And they signed him to a deal, 1 year, $15 million. And God bless the Jets with their sense of social media savvy.
Pretty good.
They gave him the sandwich at the signing and then recorded it.
Am I trying this right now?
Well, you want to. You don't have to.
No, I'm not. I'm kind of hungry, little thing. I'd take like a bite or something.
Ooh.
It's good. It's good.
It sounded amazing.
This one got the deal signed right here.
Nope. Oh, yeah. Got the deal signed.
That sandwich had to be a little bit old, right?
Probably wasn't that warm. Right?
And this is the new profile pic of the sandwich.
That's classic.
With a Mike Williams bite.
Yeah, for sure.
That's Mike on the shore. Yeah, on the show. Yeah, show. Back in the day. New profile pic for the Jets, and as if
that sandwich looks
that's
good.
Not enough.
Yeah, I know. That does look good.
It's the story of the traveling bag. Mm-hmm. Mike Williams went to the Nets game last night and brought the bag with him.
Ouch.
I saw that he was at the game. That's awesome.
He brought the bag. That's a new thing.
I'm
huh?
assuming that's a bag. I'm assuming it's the bag in question. The that's bag in question looked larger,
man.
With a more green label. I don't know if somebody's handing him a replica of the bag, but.
So is that going to be Jets fans' thing? They bring brown paper bags, and then if the team stinks, they put them over their head?
Or you breathe into it.
Yeah.
When things get nervous.
I went the unknown comic route.
Okay. No. Hoskins, you know what I'm asking you to call up. If you really want to take a look at a team that knows what it's doing in free agency, don't look at the Jets.
Oh, here you go.
I'm sorry. You just walked into it with the paper bag slag.
I mean, but it's just
that
like,
rhymes.
Man.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's see.
What
let's
do my eyes see? Here it comes.
Let's look.
Yeah, there it is. That's what a team that knows how to work the free agency board and fill the blanks to set you up for the draft. That's a team right there, the Dallas Cowboys. And interestingly enough,
respect Rico.
It's funny that you bring that up, TJ.
Sorry,
because you kind of walked me into my next point, which is the 1 year, $15 million deal that they did for Mike Williams. And then you add to the fact how they've redone their offensive line with the centerpiece being a one-year deal for a guy named Tyron Smith. And when it was 1 year, $20 million, you know, there's the up to $20 million. Mike Florio had a funny tweet yesterday saying, quote unquote, up to is doing a lot of mad work this week or something like that. Up to $20 million. Dallas Cowboys friends went, 1 year, $20 million. I mean, we don't have the free agency wait to keep our future Hall of Fame left tackle to protect Dak. We just had to let him walk for that. And then you see the details and you see only $6.5 million is the guaranteed money. And the rest of it are incentives for a guy that has had some games missed. Last year was one of his healthier seasons in recent memory, and he missed 4 games. He missed 13-22, 6-21, and 14-20. And the last time he played an entire season start to finish without missing a game was 2015. So the Jets protected themselves financially by signing him to a deal 1 year, $6.5 million, that once that came out, do you know what hit the Metroplex? The realization that the cash-strapped, let's re-sign our long snapper Cowboys could have kind of fit Tyron Smith into the mix after all, but didn't. So maybe you want the paper bag.
No, I mean.
All right. How about this?
We've got 33 wins the last 3 years. The Jets have 18.
How about this? How about
18
this?
Wins,
how
Chris.
About this?
1-8.
I'll keep 18. The paper bag. I'll keep the paper bag for September through December, and then hand it to you for January.
Won't need it. Oh, yeah, because you won't be playing in January.
No, I won't need
so
it.
So you won't need
I
the
I won't
bag.
Need
you're
it
right.
Because the January the Jets will be done. The January that the Jets hopefully
is
we'll
your
make
quarterback going to play a full game this season? Like a full game.
Hopefully it will be such house money, I won't need the paper bag because the Jets have hit everything in free agency and didn't break the bank doing it.
Neither did we.
And they did a very smart job of filling the blanks that needed to be filled by adding Mike Williams, who, by the way, is coming off of an ACL. You kind of don't want a 29-year-old wide receiver coming off an ACL being a target for a 40-year-old coming off of a torn Achilles. That's normally not the way you draw it up. However, Mike Williams did, from 2018 to 21, only miss three games.
He's good.
So Mike Williams on the opposite side of Garrett Wilson. Let's just assume Alan Lazard will at least fog up a mirror this year. And then you got Breece Hall. Then you got a revamped offensive line. You got a defense that's already championship quality despite losing Bryce Huff. And then you got a 10th overall selection. You could do whatever you darn well please with. How about Brock Bowers? Never thought in a million years when I saw him trucking people in the SEC, he could be wearing green for the Jets. Dude. Never thought that would be possible, and it's entirely possible. How about adding him to the very talented tight end mix they already have there? How about that? So I kind of dig what the Jets are up to. And the fans doing their part with the breakfast sandwiches. And a paper bag that I might not need.
Rich, they're not only just sending breakfast sandwiches. The Jets tweeted out this morning that they have been getting tons of food sent to Florham Park.
Hey!
There's a lot of good places to eat
around
there.
But they would rather you donate to their charity instead.
Well done.
So seek out the New York Jets tweet for information on that.
At Nourish NJ.
Yeah, you can't really eat all that stuff.
No, send it to people who could use the food.
Absolutely.
More than the New York Jets. And by the way, there's no other free agent that they're bringing in right now. We're good. Kind of the offensive line was a problem. The receiver was a problem. They hit some of their defense too in free agency, and they didn't break the bank. This is what you do when you're just playing for next year. You don't have to put it on the credit card. Kind of dig what Joe Douglas is up to.
We talking playoffs or what?
And you got one of my favorite players of all time. So,
who's that?
Tyron Smith.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Hate to see him go.
I like it.
Sorry, TJ.
And Mel Kiper has the Jets taken who in his mock draft? I guess I should know that. Oh, he's got Brock Bowers going there. Interesting how we're kind of like that. Kind of like that.
Here it comes.
There it is.
Enjoy number 77, man. He's a monster out there. So.
Oh, I plan on it.
You should.
I plan on it. So, that's a fun segment. As our Thursday third hour in studio guest might say, okay.
Okay.
Pretty.
We're getting ready for Larry David tomorrow. Okay. 24 hours from now. That man should be in our green room by then. That's tomorrow, however. Mel Kiper coming up. 844-204-RICH, number to dial.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
What are you guys talking about?
When me and Brockman went to the New Heights, the Kelce podcast party over Super Bowl. It was amazing.
Why are you bringing that up now?
We were talking about Blow the Whistle with Too Short, and I was telling Mike back in the days when I used to go out to the clubs, when that song would come on, I'd always have a whistle on me, and I would just blow the whistle while they played the song. So I happened to have the whistle on me when we went to the party and did it, and people loved it.
people like the whistle.
Yeah. When Too Short Blow the Whistle comes on, for sure.
I mean, that's a great.
Because like who expects somebody to pull a whistle out?
Exactly. Especially, like TJ said, the first week. Like, you're definitely groundbreaking at that point.
Thank you.
Because you're not, like, no one's carrying a whistle yet.
So that's what we were talking
about. Very good. I'm sorry. I was just sending a soundbite to the fellas at home to get us for the
what's up, boys at
end of the third hour. Sending our best to Sean Mitchell and his surgically repaired wing.
Ugh, I got to do that.
Sean got hit by a car on his bike?
No.
He
we don't need to get into it, but we're just sending our best to him. Just giving him a shout out.
I got to do it.
Saying that we're thinking of you, Sean.
Hope you're well, brother.
He sent me a picture of his x-ray.
Oh, I don't want
to see. Do we really need to see that?
Man. No, I wasn't going to share it. I was just going to point out he's got a lot of pins in his shoulder.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Sending our best to him.
Yeah. Got to wear that brace thing.
It's got to be like
but
this.
But I'm also sending less than my best to TJ. That paper bag smack. You think you're going to say that stuff and that, not get it back
you
in kind?
You always got something negative to say about Dallas. And by the way, we can go back.
Only when you started.
No, Rich. No. Anytime I ever say anything, you're going to come back hard on Dallas. So, and that was funny because you will be using the bags. Either to throw up in or put over your head.
Look at you. Back on the Rich Eisen show here. Hey, listen, we think we provide an excellent service here, whether you're watching us on the Roku channel, which is free, and or this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate.
The best thing about us, though, is it's about us.
I agree. I totally agree. That's the new mantra of RE Consulting.
Black and gold. Here we go.
Well, I don't know if RES Consulting.
No.
We didn't come up with that one.
Not that far.
Yeah. Again, we would count if Russell came to RES Consulting, we would say, you know, let's serve some steak.
And
less of the sizzle, more of the steak. But thank you though. But thank you for our new slogan at RES Consulting, which is the best thing about us is that it's about us.
Del Tufo in that picture.
Yeah,
it's great. It's fantastic. Yeah.
So we're very proud of the service we provide here every day to keep you up to speed on everything. We try to let you know what people are talking about or posting about, or let you be smarter when you see something. Oh, I heard about that already on the Rich Eisen, or I saw that there, or just letting you know something's happening. We even have this new fangled breaking news drop that we're very proud of because it mixes the
here it comes.
Al Pacino
and
Denzel with
breaking news.
Breaking news. And it's kind of current because that happened at the Oscars. But that's my long wind up to pitch that, yes, there are some things that we don't get to sometimes, or perhaps you need extra help in being informed. We're very proud of what we do, but don't think that we are as comprehensive sometimes. Okay. Like, we're not perfect. So thankfully, for instance, I'm trying to keep this straight. For instance, the Major League Baseball opener today happened in Seoul, South Korea. Some people may have missed the result. Mm-hmm. Some people may not know what happened because they were sleeping.
It was in the morning.
Right. They're in the morning. Getting ready for, and they're getting ready for work on the East Coast. You may have missed what happened.
Sure.
Well, for that, we can be thankful for some help. The safety net on anything we miss will always be caught by Magic Johnson.
Yeah, of course.
And so
yes.
I had no idea.
Here's Magic Johnson's post. 5-2 opening victory for the Dodgers in South Korea over the Padres. Shohei Ohtani and Mookie Betts led with two hits apiece, and Glasnow pitched great, allowing only two hits. The men in blue are off to a great start. Clapping emoji.
He misspelled Ohtani.
Listen.
Hey, what are we doing?
Listen, it's okay.
I mean, it's fine.
He owns
Please.
The team.
Magic.
Not anymore. He's in Washington.
Magic's
still with the Dodgers.
Magic just needs to be told where the H is. Oh, he did update
it.
Oh, he updated.
Okay, good. Oh. Someone pointed
Magic's
it out.
Got the edit button.
Cookie was
Well, Chris, you're acting like his name is Smith. It's Ohtani. I could understand.
He's
quick.
Only the most famous person on the planet.
He would have spelled Smith, Smit.
In that particular instance.
Well, there's no H.
Good job, Rich.
That's why your name's on the mug, bro.
That was my very long-winded or long wind-up setup. Back then.
I like
Magic
that.
Was out there.
You think Magic's out there? Can't.
Is it called? Is it MSPN, Magic Sports Network?
That's better than what Antonio Brown calls
it. Right. Yeah. his updates are what? CTESPN?
Yeah. He'd be breaking news, though.
And he's going to Schefter saying, that was my scoop. Oh my God!
Yeah, I can't
get that response from CTESPN because I've been blocked.
Oh really? By AB84? Wow!
He blocked me a long time ago.
You keep talking about the Cowboys. I might have to block you too.
No, you're not blocking me. You can't blocky me.
Man, my cheeks hurt.
I don't have the patience.
There it is.
I think about halfway through the setup.
There's the fix. There's the edited version.
Halfway through Rich's preamble, I was like, this is a Magic Johnson tweet.
You had me because
I was like, hold on a second.
I was thinking, how's Rich going to like crap on the Cowboys again?
Not
going to
crap
this?
On the Cowboys. I'm just pointing out that we don't cover everything as comprehensively as we'd like.
Well, we don't need to with Magic around.
And he's got our back with the nuts and the bolts.
MJSPN.
There it is. Magic Johnson Sports Network.
By the way, it's perfect.
For all your sports news instantly.
It gives you everything
call
you need
976-1313. Remember that? The old sports phone?
You're taking me back. You're taking me back.
AP style book, first paragraph. He tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah.
Oh, it's nuts and bolts.
He doesn't have paragraphs, Chris. He has a certain number of characters.
Nuts and bolts with an emoji and then just a little bit of cheering. It's delightful.
It's perfect.
It's magic.
If you
is what it is. Mel Kiper Jr. coming up.
I can't wait for his summer vacay picks with Jimmy Kimmel.
Do you remember Sports Phone? Do you remember you used to call Sports Phone for your results?
Do you have one? You bet. You probably had one.
I think I might have. I probably called Sports Phone for because that's
for results.
There was nothing.
You would call and it would just be a guy who used to talk like this.
He'd
talk like this. And you'd call up Sports Phone. Yeah, we'd talk like this. Hi, I'm so and so, and my name is whatever. And now here are the final scores. The Yankees beat the Rangers 5-4.
You have to pay for this?
Oh, yes, yeah. Like it was 25 cents a minute, right?
Per minute. Yeah.
And I remember. I'd be like, Joel and Ev got the bill, not me.
Teresa and Anthony got mine, and then we got in trouble.
And they would be like, what is this number? I was looking for all my sports news instantly, and I dialed 976-1313.
Then in the early 90s, those 976 numbers were a little
different. That was a different story.
You better be careful. You know how those man boys. Those things changed.
And then movie phone came along.
Oh, movie
phone. Why don't you just tell me the name of the movie you want to see?
So good.
Movie phone.
That's one of my favorite Kramer moments, man.
No.
Well, why don't you just tell me the name of the movie?
Oh
my gosh.
Well, calling sports picks worked out for you in the long run. So
yes, it was
sure
just setting me up for the long run.
Yeah.
And Magic is providing the same service, and it's free.
It's
it doesn't
free.
Cost 25 cents a minute.
Well, you're not going to get in trouble. Are you?
Elon almost wanted to make you pay for that, but luckily.
That's true.
That's true.
Thankfully, not yet.
Coming.
Mel. So is Mel. Trust so me. Is Mel.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.